The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're going to have the week trending now. Some of the main stories trending on social media during the week. Owen McDermott, Director of the Communications Clinic, is with us. And Sarah Maria Griffin, journalist and author of Spare and Found Parts. Let's start with Kevin Hart, who I think has been the shortest serving intended host of the Oscars in history. The background to this, Sarah Maria.
So it seems that after his announcement as one of the hosts of the Oscars this year, some tweets from his past, which contained some less sound, less kind, pretty bad things in
pretty
them.
Homophobic.
Like, extremely homophobic, let's call it what it is, have surfaced, and I feel rightly been used as fairly good reason to not have him on a main stage at the moment.
Okay, I'm actually, and I hope this doesn't cause offence, but I think we should actually put out there what he actually said. One of the tweets from 2011, which has been deleted: "Yo, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, stop, that's gay."
Yikes. Mm. Yeah, you see when you
put a guy.
It, yeah.
You know, I think Kevin Hart is a terrible human being, really. Last year he had to apologise for cheating on his pregnant wife, which will give you a kind of a measure of the person. I think, Matt, you'll see from these tweets that he was homophobic. He was given an opportunity by the Academy to apologise to keep the job. He made the choice not to apologise.
Hang on, hadn't he said that he had apologised previously? Well, how many times do you have to apologise before it's actually taken seriously?
Well, it depends how effective the apology was. If we look at the stream of bad apologies done by celebrities, even in the last year or two, they never do a correct one. They can't apologise for love nor money. They make these conditional apologies, I'm sorry if I offended, where really there was an opportunity for Kevin Hart to properly apologise and make amends for the damage that some of those tweets would have done.
Let's hear what he had to say.
So I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009-2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I moved on and I'm in a completely different space in my life. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response to the questions that have been asked years after years after years. We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay on my ground. Regardless, Academy, I'm thankful and appreciative of the opportunity. If it goes away, no harm, no foul.
Okay, but Sarah Maria, what about that point? And we agree, what he wrote there was reprehensible and certain other comments that he made. But if he had apologised, and if you say, if you can go back and find tweets where he did apologise, how often do you have to apologise?
I feel like these are really odd times in terms of social media, because those tweets were certainly made years ago, but there's no way of denying that they are horrific and their impact justifies really terrible behaviour towards queer people. But I think even the date on them doesn't matter. It feels as fresh as though he's saying it today. So even if he's apologising today, the things that he said don't age or disappear into memory. They're as fresh visually on our eyes. When we see a tweet like that written, it doesn't matter what the date under it says. It still holds the same clout as an apology written on the same day. I think the way social media is and operates, we don't have the capacity to relate to that correctly. And I'm not sure if a publicist-run apology is a true apology. How can we know? Like, how can we know what's truly sorry here?
You know? Well, no, I think you've hit a really important thing, because he talks there of the times of the past. Well, we're now in the times of the present, and this is still an issue that he's talking about. I think if you look at the apology, and there was mention from the LGBTQ community in America, who said he actually should have taken this as an opportunity to, and over the years, be able to connect with the gay community and do work on their behalf. Where if you look at the track record of those apologies, they tended to be hollow. He did nothing in his actions to improve
things.
That's
a really good point.
And I think if you're looking, and if a celebrity or a sports person actually wants to remedy the thing that they have done, they should act, not just apologise.
I think actually there have been footballers in the last year or two also have been suspended because of old quotes found on Twitter from about 6 or 8 years ago as well. Phil in Dublin says, oh, get over yourselves. No one should give a damn what Kevin Hart tweets. more outrage industry stuff.
Whoa, but on that, can I jump in on that? Yeah. This is the Oscars. It's a big TV show. It goes around the world. He's going to be the presenter of it. And to say we should get over it, I think, is probably a little glib. It's the equivalent of saying it'd be okay for Bernard Manning to present the BAFTAs, because Bernard Manning said racist stuff 20 years ago, and sure, look, it's all right. Now, that's not what we're saying here. And that's why I think he had the opportunity to apologise and to act and acknowledge what he did. And he talked about the energy going in and finding the tweets. Maybe a bit of energy in terms of how he was engaging with that community might have made a difference.
Okay, but listener says, why should he apologise for a joke? It was a joke. Another one says...
But that's like saying, why would Bernard Manning apologise for a racist joke? Just because people didn't think it to be racist at that time.
But a listener says, it wasn't homophobic. If you listen to the joke, he was actually making fun of straight men's insecurities. And this is absolute nonsense, judging somebody from 8-year-old tweets. Get a grip. But I think, could it the fact that he was being ironic, but unfortunately the joke did not transfer in print and Twitter?
We're not there culturally yet. Look at the way the world is. We're living in a world on fire. And I think at this point, if we're saying, sure, it's okay to say terrible things about a marginalised group, it's grand. We're not doing the right thing. I think a lot of this is about kindness and listening to who this might have hurt.
Okay, there's a number of people saying taking offence at you in reference to queer people.
Oh, I use that as an umbrella term, sorry. That was not used as a slur. It was more used as an umbrella term for LGBTQ people. And I say that as a member of the queer community myself.
Okay, thank you very much for clarifying that particular issue. Of course, it also, and I'm very briefly going to touch on the whole Fairy Tale of New York saga as well, because, there's been an enormous amount of people feel it is ridiculous, the idea that the song should be banned because of the use of the word, you scumbag, you faggot, you chief lousy maggot, or whatever. And people are very offended at that. But there was one interesting tweet that I saw on that from a woman who tweeted me, her 5-year-old son sings along with Christmas songs, and she doesn't want him singing along to that particular line.
It's so easy to bleep a word. It's so easy. We do it in all different kinds of songs.
I'm reminded of a stand-up by Chris Rock where he talks about, when is it okay for white people to use the N-word? And he says, well, really, ultimately, never. And he talks about stories of being in clubs with his friends singing. I think there's the equivalent to that. Any opportunity to remove that word from our parlance, I think, should be welcomed. And what difference does it make if we take out a word?
Okay, but Shane McGowan issued a statement via his wife to the Tonight Show last night when I was on it, explaining in quite considerable detail that this is a song, these are characters, this is not in any way offensive or meant to be offensive, this is art. I mean, this again, if we start censoring that song, where do you stop? Does all of the canon of rap music really need to
be? They get bleeped a lot on the radio.
Biggie Smalls has a song called Juicy. He uses the N-word at the end of every verse. For the radio edit of that, they took the N-word out of every verse. It happens you can get the full version on Spotify, and that can be your choice.
Okay. There is also, people say that apparently at a lot of things, at clubs and stuff, when Fairy Tale in New York is sung, that particular line, which I quoted, I think perhaps inaccurately, is sung with a certain degree of gusto and verve by some people who always stamp their feet to it.
And can you imagine being a person who that word has been used when bad things have been happening to you, or that word has been used against you, or at times when you have been in pain or fear and been at the pub at Christmas trying to have a nice time, and suddenly that's down upon you like a bad spell? Like, I think it's fair to just bleep it. Like, it's not rock science.
And of course, then another controversy this week, a DJ, Martin Solveig from France, who nobody had heard of before he was presenting the Ballon d'Ors, when he asked Ada Hegerberg, the footballer, did she twerk?
Yeah. Incredible thing to say. Matt, you MC, we train people how to MC, and one of the big objectives that an MC should have is not to be the most noticeable thing there and not to be the centre of attention, yet this guy went about becoming the centre of attention. Not only did he say something grossly inappropriate, he turned up wearing a tracksuit. You hire a DJ, what do you expect? Like, he's not someone who's skilled in this, but it also brought to me, like, the person, he didn't have the decency nor the diplomacy to understand that this was a really important moment for this football player, yet he decided, rather than making her feel special, he'll try and crack a gag. And then, if we're talking about apologies, you should read or watch the apology that he makes. It's again one of those, I'm sorry, not sorry, I'm sorry, I meant it as a joke, and I hope I didn't offend anybody. It's a terrible situation, and it again shows it wouldn't have happened to a man and it shouldn't have happened to a woman.
Sarah Maria, what did you make of that particular incident?
My heart about it is that Hegerberg's experience of getting this incredible award, this huge achievement, I believe she's 23 and she's achieved so much in her field. And to have that swiped out from under her and become a cultural moment in which his words are being valued more than her achievement and his attempt at humiliating her in that moment is taking more media presence than her tremendous accomplishment.
Okay, listener says, Eminem was deeply homophobic in his early years and he's now a world icon. In fact, we mentioned Stan the other night when we had John Cadell and Larissa Nolan talking about what music could be banned if you were to take the Baby It's Cold Outside approach. We have that up as a podcast for you. But on Eminem, I'm just remembering, I think Seamus Heaney actually, our most famous ever poet perhaps in this country, the late Seamus Heaney, once praising Eminem for his ability to reach the masses with the way that he actually wrote.
You can be a wordsmith and still be homophobic, I think is the answer. And I don't think that Eminem has carried much power into the century we're in. Certainly in the moment that he existed in, he was big cool because he was a white lad doing something maybe that we hadn't seen white lads doing before. But now in the year of our Lord 2018, I don't think anybody really cares about him. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I haven't really heard much from him lately. I don't know about you guys.
I mentioned this earlier in the week, but if you missed it, your animal rights organisation PETA or PETA, whatever that's called, has managed to get an awful lot of attention for itself, which may have been what it intended, by putting out tweets about us stop using anti-animal language, as they put it. So, Owen, I'm going to read to you the expression and you give me the response.
Yes.
Oh, correct. Well, you're going to correct one. Okay.
As PETA would say.
Yeah. Kill two birds with the one stone.
Feed two birds with the one scone.
Be the guinea pig.
Be the test tube.
Beat a dead horse.
Feed a dead horse.
No, it's feed a fed horse. Excuse me. Get it right on, will you?
The poor horses.
Bring home the bacon.
Bring home the bagels.
That's my favourite. Bring
home
the
next
bagels.
One's the best.
And take the bull by the horns.
Take the flower by the thorns.
Okay.
It might have got them attention, Matt. I think it is utterly counterproductive. Yeah. It is the prime example of an organisation preaching to the choir, and by preaching to the choir, they lose ground with the floating voter. If they were trying to have people like me and people listening to be more sympathetic to the treatment of animals, they should have talked to the floating voter in ways that were compelling to them. Examples of how animals are mistreated, factory farming, the environmental impact, for instance, are all of those, when in fact where they went to was something like this, which has gained them attention but has lost them ground.
What do you think, Sarah Maria Griffin?
I think that's on the spot. It's slightly heartbreaking because I do think that we are at a time in the global climate, I mean that quite literally, in the way that the world is changing around us, if we remember the climate reports that happened a few months ago, where farming is changing, the way that we are able to produce food is changing. It probably would be a bit better for everyone if we chilled out on the meat thing. I know Ireland has a very sustainable farming industry and a very important one, but it's better for us in general to probably eat a little bit less meat. I'm not fully vegetarian or vegan, but I'm a sympathiser, right? I'm on side.
But you're not sympathetic to this.
This is, I think you're dead right, Owen. It is, it's going to harm the cause. If you're trying to have a chat with people about treating animals more ethically and treating food and consumption more ethically, this is fully not the way to go about it.
You know, the two of you are now going to confuse all of those listeners who've texted in complaining that you're a pair of snowflakes because you've actually turned around now and gone against the politically correct.
I don't think that's politically correct.
This is absolutely ridiculous. Imagine saying in a meeting, you know, what you really need to do now is take the flower by the thorns. It's ridiculous. It's incredible. And you say, I am a vegetarian and I have made the decision for a whole host of reasons, environmental, ethical, but I would have thought that if this is trying to persuade people to eat less or to treat animals better.
It's the opposite
this
of persuasion.
This is actually making a gag.
They will now be texting saying, clearly you're a vegetarian, snowflake. And they're not surprised that you're a vegetarian given your opinions. What about Leo Varadkar actually deciding to respond to a little seen Facebook posting alleging incorrectly that he had been receipt of free food at the Kylie gig in the Three Arena last Monday night, Sarah Maria?
I wish I had been at Kylie Minogue at the Three Arena. It looked brilliant. It looked so good. I was watching everyone else's Instagram stories about it. I think there's a lot more going on in the country at the minute, Leo, to be honest, that you could probably be talking about than receiving free meals. Like,
but he wanted to actually nail it. He had a receipt for the drink that he purchased.
But real talk, like, I don't really care what he does with his time off. You know, I care about what he's doing for Ireland and how he's taking care of things. I don't care if he's at Kylie. Work, I wish I was at Kylie. I don't care what he's eating or who's being nice to him. Please just, you know, help with the housing crisis or you know, don't. I was absolutely furious because I just don't, I think it's a distraction. at the moment. I don't care what he does with his time off.
I think the Taoiseach or his advisors may have thought of the Mark Twain line that said a lion can be halfway around the world before the truth gets its boots on. And I would think in this situation, the Taoiseach pulled the boots on pretty quickly to avoid any type of issue or any story going around that he happened to get a free meal or avoid a discussion on. I get a sense that
they decided to cut it off by the legs first.
Yes.
Are you not to say that?
Well, careful
or
now.
Or cut it off by the... No, well, it's human, so it's
human,
not
so it's all right.
We shouldn't be talking like that about humans.
Cut it off by the tree trunk. But what about then the poor trees? See, this is the issue. Terrible.
Okay, right. Okay, let's move on to something else. And let's move on perhaps to the Late Late Show in London. Oh, and remember that took place recently.
This happened in October.
Yeah, and lots of very disappointed punters who couldn't get in. They had their free tickets, but they weren't enough to gain admission.
Yeah, so about 500 were stranded outside. And what it turns out happened was that they overbooked the show or oversold the tickets, although I know the tickets were free. And it was by an organisation based in the UK called Applause Store, who were advising the Late Late and RTE that said, look, when we run these type of events, sometimes only about 20% of the people turn up. So you may as well overbook it to make sure the place is packed. It's a bit like airlines would do where they overbook seats on it and hope there'll be a few no-shows. Little did this crowd, Applause Store, realise that the Late Late Show is a high-in-demand show. It is a national treasure and that no Irish person who had a ticket was going to miss it. So everybody turned up and then they were stuck with 500 people crying outside.
Like in the cases of bad event planning, this was a real, real bad one to miss the mark on. I genuinely feel for the people who travelled. Like, the Late Late is a national institution. It is something that people want to be in the audience of. And if you're going to fully leave people standing outside in the cold, like, oof, that is...
Sarah Maria, I want to move on. And listen, we'll probably put this up if people haven't seen it. Well, it's a pretty upsetting picture, I'd imagine, upsetting for the woman whose lips incredibly swelled up after she had filler injected at a Botox party. Have you heard of Botox parties? I mean, I thought Botox was something that you had to have administered by a registered doctor.
I thought it's a long way from Tupperware parties.
No, it's as far from Botox parties that I was reared.
But people are going around and actually injecting lip fillers and they're not medically trained to do so.
Yeah, I think there are certain certifications that people require, but they're not as highly, the bar isn't as high as you would imagine. And I do think that there is a certain kind of situation where people just think they can do it and incorporate it into regular beauty routines when it's actually not
a regular beauty routine.
It's a little bit more invasive. I don't think that it's the photos are very sad and very upsetting to see because she's obviously in terrible pain. And I don't think that it's her fault. I do think that this is a professional who was not as professional as they should have been and really harmed this woman. And it definitely is something that I could see people laughing about on social media, which I thought was incredibly cruel. Mild cosmetic surgeries and non-invasive cosmetic surgeries are becoming more and more common. And I think I think in the world that we live in, people can do whatever they want.
I think thankfully she was able to get the thing dissolved from her lip. But I think you're right on that.
What a distressing experience.
Oh, and crazy. But on the Botox thing, a client of mine, for example, suffers from severe migraines and was missing a huge amount of work and now gets Botox injections every 12 weeks. There's a benefit on the wrinkle side, but has in fact made work life and has reduced the level of migraines that she has gotten hugely. So there are benefits to it, whether it be the aesthetic one or the medical one. But I just think on a Friday night, it's an odd party to go to.
And a final one, Amazon. Workers hospitalised after one of their colleagues, a robot, managed to puncture a beer repellent can.
Bear repellent can.
Beer. Sorry to say beer. Bear. Excuse me.
It just goes to show you can get anything on anything on Amazon from bear repellent. I even found bacon flavoured floss earlier on, which would be an interesting experience. Firstly, I think the headline is a real attention grabber. I don't think it's as really exciting as the headline suggests. Firstly, the robot. I think it's probably some sort of machine. Then the repellent can gives the impression that it's huge. The repellent can was 225 grams. Now, just to give people a context, a can of beans is 400 grams, so it was smaller than that. Yet, 24 people had to be hospitalised in Jersey to give you a sense of kind of how strong this chili, because it is made up with a compound of kind of concentrated chilies, and it really affected them. But I think...
The robot didn't do this deliberately, though, did it?
No.
when you're we haven't reached artificial intelligence with the robots where they decided they want to get rid of the human workers to make more room for the artificial intelligence robots.
That'll be us having this conversation on a Friday night in 2 years, worrying about what they're up to.
Where
you
the
watch.
Robot throws a can of beer
and I have to say, fair play to the listener who has sent in this tweet about the PETA. How do you pronounce it?
PETA? I'm not sure.
Well, about the PETA issue, and wants to know, does PETA not have bigger fish to fry?
Oh.
Thank you very much to Owen McDermott from the Communications Clinic and Sarah Maria Griffin.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.